back to those moonshots we're hearing about more and more, as well as effects on the human genome that can come from flying in space. Craig Kundrot is head of life sciences at NASA, and Chris Mason studies cosmic genes in New York.
NASA's plans are to continue to use LEO for the foreseeable future. That's low Earth orbit for research and technology development, but we're pushing ahead to go back to the moon and on to Mars. And around the vicinity of the moon, the two major pushes are developing a orbital gateway and a series of lunar landers. And a lot of this work is being done in preparation for human missions to Mars. Because the moon is only a three-day trip from Earth, so if things don't go so well, it's easy to get back. Whereas Mars, it's a six-month journey, and when you work out the orbital mechanics, there is no fast return. So we really want to use the moon as much as we can to learn the things that we need to go on to Mars. The five major areas of stress or hazards to human space travel, that's altered gravity, radiation, closed environment, isolation confinement, and distance. That'll set the stage for Chris, who will be diving deep into part of our human research programs, one of the projects in that, the twin study, which is looking at the human response to spaceflight. The bit of embargoed information coming out later today, the space biology program is announcing the selection of four research investigations for, in NASA speak, EM-1, that's Exploration Mission 1, which is slated for launch in 2020. That will be about a 26-day mission. This will be the Space Launch System rocket that NASA is building, along with the Orion capsule. It will be uncrewed, but it'll have payloads aboard. And it'll be about a 26-day mission, so it'll transit out to the moon, do a series of orbital maneuvers, and then return. And the purpose behind these investigations is really to look at the combined effects of microgravity, and most importantly, deep space radiation, which is quite different than the radiation we encounter here on Earth. Pretty much everything in terms of ionizing radiation we encounter on Earth is X-rays or gamma rays, which are a form of light. And in space, you are exposed to atomic nuclei, from the lowly hydrogen up to the heavy iron. So biological damage is quite different, and that's what the object of study is in those coming up. And with that, I'll turn it over to Chris.
Thanks. Well, thank you, Dr. Kundrot. And really, I'm here. I'm one of the investigators to help out with the NASA Twin Study, which was really started in 2014. The goal was to really leverage a very unique opportunity, so to understand what happens to the body during a long duration space flight, in this case, a year in space that Scott Kelly was about to launch and did in 2015. And as a geneticist, I was very excited because trainings in genetics, all I do all day is think about genetics and DNA and RNA and what's happening inside cells. And so I wish every experiment that was ever done had an identical twin with it. And so this includes anytime you send someone to space. So we were very fortunate that Mark and Scott, Mark, who is actually retired, but volunteered also to help with the study, to have blood collected and gave literally blood, sweat, and tears, or some tears. He probably doesn't cry that much, I'm not sure. But gave a lot of fluids to the study, as well as Scott, to bring one to space. So really everything that we could ask for, they were both really great study subjects. In a nutshell, we looked at and measured everything that we possibly could, because in the face of lack of knowledge of something, when you don't know what will change, the best thing to do is to measure everything that can change. So we measured the gene expression changes that occurred during spaceflight. And some of the embargoed information that's coming out today details other things we've seen about the mitochondrial fraction of DNA that showed up in Scott's bloodstream when he was in space. Evidence of mitochondrial changes in spaceflight that we didn't expect. Other things that have already become public you've heard about probably are that telomeres got longer in space, which we also didn't expect. We thought maybe the opposite would happen. So several surprising features of the study. Another thing is we looked at the distribution of cell types, so what numbers of cells are appearing in the blood, particularly in the immune system, where we see the immune system changing very dramatically during spaceflight. It appears as if almost the body is on a kind of a high alert, which you would imagine if suddenly you were in zero gravity, your body would probably be on high alert as well. But as far as we know, all these changes are really adaptations and actually response to spaceflight. It's mostly really good news, actually. Like, of all the changes we see, a lot of things change in space. Thousands and thousands of genes change expression. Molecules change in the blood, what are called metabolites. We see changes in the microbiome. Changes all across human physiology, but 91% of all the genes return back to normal very quickly upon coming back to Earth. And we see that for the most part, the body's this extraordinary plasticity and adaptation to being in zero gravity, at least for a year. So future missions plan that will be long duration missions over the next 7 years. And so, of course, a sample size of 2 limits what we can say, where this is not the be it end all definitive study of human space biology, but it is really the most in-depth molecular portrait, I think, of almost any human being that's been created in a lab or at NASA or really anywhere. So it gives us this extraordinary first contours of the landscape of what changes in the human body and things that are very plastic that we don't seem to need to worry about too much yet because they change, but they just seem like adaptations. Some things that seem to persist maybe out to 6 months, gene expression, just things to keep an eye on. They're not good, they're not bad. We just, some things change and we'd want to monitor those things that change the most and then replicate this in other studies and animal models. Thank you very much.
Chris Mason is Professor of Computational Genomics in New York, and Craig Kundro is Head of Life Sciences at NASA, talking at the AAAS. And interesting that those telomeres, the caps of your chromosomes, get longer, and that's good news.